Good morning from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church in beautiful Silver Hill, Alabama, and welcome to our Sunday morning worship encouragement, God's Loving Kindness in the Morning. Let's begin with Martin Luther's morning prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me through the night from all harm and danger. I pray that you would keep me this day from all sin and evil, that in all my thoughts and words and deeds I may serve and please you. Into your hands I commend my body and soul and all that is mine. Let your holy angels be with me, that the evil one may have no power over me. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is in his holy temple. His throne is in heaven. The Lord is near to all who are of a humble and a contrite spirit. He hears the requests of the penitent and listens to their prayers. Let us therefore draw near with boldness to his throne of grace and confess our sins. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, I have sinned, and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak, and blameless when thou dost judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Lutherans subscribe to the great confessions of faith of the early church. God has not changed, and our faith remains firm in the teachings of the Bible. That's why we often share what is called the Apostles' Creed in our weekly worship. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well, let's pray together as we ready our hearts for today's Bible reading. Gracious Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to the earth and sharing your good news of salvation for mankind. Open your holy word to us this morning. Along with our Heavenly Father and your Holy Spirit, minister to our hearts and nurture us in your word. Amen. Hardships come in life. People suffer. Maybe you are suffering today, or maybe you know someone who is suffering. Our first inclination when times get tough for us is to lament. Why me? Why now? What difference does all this make? St. Paul dealt with suffering in the letter to the Philippians. No lamentation from Paul, however. Paul instead looks to others in his life and the ramifications of Paul's suffering on them. Listen to Philippians 1, verses 21 through 30. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is in me. Paul begins by explaining clearly that suffering is not so much a matter of life and death, but more a matter of which serves the church and its people more. Thinking about our Lord, Paul sees death as a great advantage because death brings him into the Lord's presence. Thinking about the church and its people, Paul sees that continuing life will bring fruitfulness to the church. You can see Paul's dilemma. Where should his focus on life and its suffering be? Paul struggled with the desirable, being with Christ, and with the practical, serving the church. He recognizes that the fellowship of believers needs him. Paul can help the church along its way in life, and if he lives, he can bring joy to those particular Christians in Philippi. Not only that, Paul recognizes that those Christians will rejoice because Paul is still with them. That joy will manifest Christ. They will rejoice and their lives will be filled with the abundance of Christ by Paul's mission to them. Wouldn't we like to be a blessing to those we want to visit and encourage in God's Word, the good news of Jesus Christ? Paul was a great encourager of the early church. Perhaps that was part of his special calling. Yes, he was the man of the moment, but he did not remind people of himself. No, he reminded people of the Lord Jesus. He says, "Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ." Christ, yes. Paul, no. He says, "Whether I come and see you or am absent, let me hear of your affairs that you stand fast in one spirit. Stay close to Christ through the Holy Spirit in your life," he says. "With one mind, strive together for the faith of the gospel. Build the church of Christ." Then Paul also says something that we all need to hear. Don't be afraid. The persecution that would be coming to the church in the Roman Empire had not fully arrived at the time of this letter. But the Apostle Paul saw it coming. He says, "Don't be afraid. Do not in any way be terrified by your adversaries." There are opponents to Jesus Christ, some of them highly visible. Paul explains that their very visibility is proof of their ultimate faith, which is damnation. Not only this, but the proof of their perdition is a reminder to us of our salvation. Instead of being disheartened and depressed because we are opposed because of our loyalty to Jesus Christ, we need to recognize that the visibility of that opposition is assurance that we are on Christ's side and that God is on our side. But that opposition may mean suffering. St. Paul assures the Philippians that there are blessings in suffering. Indeed, suffering may be a special blessing. Paul explains that to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ to believe in him. Well, that's special, all right, but you are gifted not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. We know that Paul suffered for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Suffering for Christ is not always easy. Paul explains that the reality of suffering is there in his own life, but so is the Lord Jesus Christ in service in his name. The people of Philippi loved the Apostle Paul. Paul never asked for the congregation's help when Paul was facing prison and other tough times. They sent him financial support. Paul didn't ask for it. They attempted to provide for his needs. Again, Paul didn't ask for it. What Paul did ask for was an understanding that suffering is not necessarily bad when it comes to the fruit of that suffering. If the suffering honors Christ and brings people to the Lord, that suffering becomes a blessing. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Sometimes we say, take and eat, this is my body broken for you. After the same manner, also when he had supped and when he had given thanks, he took the cup and gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as oft as you eat and drink these things in remembrance of me. In less than 24 hours, Jesus Christ suffered and was buried. The Bible tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. You don't get blood without a wound. Jesus Christ was wounded for our transgressions. He suffered for our iniquity. Suffering, but blessing coming from suffering. Isaiah explained, through his stripes we are healed. There is blessing through suffering. Again, blood and suffering. You and I are blessed to be in the Church of Jesus Christ and in the fellowship of believers. Jesus Christ was fully human. He could have avoided human suffering. He could have avoided the cross. But you and I could never have been in the Church of Jesus Christ if he had avoided or circumvented God's plan. The wages of sin is death. You and I earned those wages through our own fault and the fault of our first parents, Adam and Eve. Someone had to pay. Someone had to suffer to pay. The full price had to be paid. The blood of sacrifice had to be adequate and pure. Jesus Christ suffered and died on the cross, that perfect sacrifice. The good news is that our Heavenly Father raised him from the dead. Our perfect sacrifice did not happen in the past because Jesus Christ is forever present. Present tense. Our sacrifice is a living sacrifice who lives forever and even now is preparing a place in heaven for each of us who follow him. Today's lesson in Philippians is true to Christ and understands God's plan for salvation. Suffering for God's plan may serve the church, even as Christ's suffering for mankind and God's plan of redemption saves each of us. As we end our time together, let us join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, please join us for worship this morning at 10 a.m. if you can. Zion Lutheran Church is a liturgical traditional Lutheran church located in Silver Hill on the corner of 4th Avenue and 7th Street. We are one block south of State Highway 104 and two blocks west of Highway 55. If you find the Silver Hill Library landmark, you are just a block away. Look for our signs. Want more information about our Lutheran Fellowship? Come to our website, www.lutheransinsilverhill.com, or give us a call at 945-5209. May God bless you in your spiritual walk this week, and don't forget to catch God's loving kindness in the morning next Sunday, same time and same place on your radio dial. Have you got a Bible? No? Give us a call at 945-1076 for a complimentary paperback New King James Version Bible. Have you had the opportunity to bless a child in India or in Baldwin County? Zion Lutheran Church understands that the Holy Spirit brings people together within the body of Christ to accomplish his will. We have two mission projects that perhaps the Holy Spirit might plant on your heart. The first project relates to the Dalit children in Cherala. We used to call the Dalit people the Untouchables. Children are the hope of the Indian church in many ways, but the Dalits are out of the education loop in India. St. Paul's Lutheran Public School in Cherala, Andhra Pradesh, India, can use our help for Dalit education. The second potential project relates to you if you live north of I-10 and south of I-65 in Baldwin County. We at Zion believe that the Lord wants to establish a Lutheran fellowship in this area. If the Lord lays the needs of the Dalit children on your heart, or if you desire to be part of a Lutheran fellowship in North Baldwin, please call us at 945-5209.